Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
The worship was awesome today, wasn't it? But it wasn't the worship that was so awesome. It was the God who inhabited the worship. And what made worship so awesome is the presence of Christ. So when you really worship, he's enthroned on the praises, and it's the presence. Everybody's like, this is so awesome. And hey, you guys are awesome musicians, but their whole job is to usher in Christ. That's the whole thing they're aiming for. That's a win to them when Jesus shows up in such power. So we need to understand that there's something there. So we say come and see and bring people to church, but we're not asking them to see walls. We're bringing them in to see Jesus. So in Matthew 4:19, Jesus said, come. And he said, I'll make you fishers of men. So if we're going to be bridges to help people, bridge people into eternity, we have to come to Jesus for that to happen. So if we're going to be a bridge, which I talked about, we are different kinds of bridges and different types, but we need to come to Jesus. So today's message is entitled, Come to Me. And that was the main thought behind it, is that Jesus said, and the text is out of Matthew 11, verse 28, where Jesus said, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. So he starts Jesus saying, come to me. And when Jesus said, come, that word's interesting because that tense, what it really means is it means come now. You know, have you ever heard a mommy's like, come, and then you hear the mommy voice and they're like, come. And the kid's like, I know I need to respond because that wasn't just come. That was a mommy voice, come, or a daddy voice, like, come, you know, now. And they're like, whoop, I'm going to get in trouble if I don't move on this one. Well, this one is a word where he's compelling us, come now. Not later. It's not like clean your garage. You'll do it someday, or clean your closet out, you know, ladies. It's like, really? No, now. He's saying, come. Jesus is saying, come to me. You know, we don't delay. Today's the day of salvation. We don't put it off. You don't wait till next week. You don't push off Christ. You come to him and you come now. So the first part he says, come to me. And then he says, all you who labor. And it's interesting, the word labor in the Greek, it means to feel fatigue, or by implication to work hard, or to toil, or be wearied. So these are people who were just tired from hard work. I don't know, maybe is there any moms out here that can say amen and amen me? Is there any work involved in raising kids? Hello? Come on, moms. Dads, hello, dads. Do you guys feel any weight, you know, raising that family? Come on, dads. Do you ever get weary? Do you ever feel toilsome? Do you ever feel like, how about students? Come on, some of you pull an all-nighter trying to finish a paper. Is there any students who can say it's a little wearisome being a student, carrying a load? We all are carrying something. We're all carrying a load. We can all understand. Jesus was trying to speak to us that if you have a weight, if you have a burden, come to me. And there was something we find. So we need to understand that he's speaking to us. And then when he said, come to me, those who labor, then he said, and are heavy laden. And heavy laden speaks of a load, it speaks of a weight, but it speaks of, that word also speaks of like ceremony or religious burdens. And, you know, for these people to come to Christ, they piled all kinds of religious burdens on them before Jesus. And Jesus, this is what Jesus was walking into. It's like, you guys have all these things. And Jesus addressed it in Luke 11:46. He told him, he said, woe to you also, lawyers, you load men with these burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves don't touch the burden with one of your fingers. Basically, you don't lift a finger. You're telling everyone to do what you won't do. No, leaders should be example-based leadership. We should be showing people, not just telling people. Hello, somebody. But the Mosaic law was so burdensome enough that the Pharisees, it was like they couldn't get enough. They had to manufacture all these different rules and regulations, hundreds of minute details. You have to wash this, do this, do this, do that. Who could bear up under all that? And this is what Jesus walked into. And he's like, and it wasn't just the Pharisees who put the loads, the Pharisees and Sadducees and the religious, the Greeks themselves, the Greeks, there was a saying in the Greeks that it's very difficult to find God. And when you have found him, it's impossible to tell anyone else about him. Come on, Greeks, you're off here. What about even when Job was around? What about in the olden days, Job's so-called friend, Job's going through it, and his friend Zophar, he demands of Job, can you find out the deep things of God? And he's challenging him. It's like, give Job a break. But they didn't have any concept that you could actually find God or the deep things of God or actually get there. And Jesus was like, Hello, people. His first sermon he preaches, he's like, it's me. I have arrived. I'm the anointed one. Not cocky, not in a way. He was just saying, like, the answer's here. So he addressed the Orthodox Jews, saying, you guys got all these burdens you put on people, the Greeks. He's saying, you go to all these lengths to seek out truth, but you're still, like, you know, closer than the rest. And basically he was saying, hey, it stops here. I am the burden breaker. I am the anointed one. I am the Messiah. I have come to break the burdens. And when he went to the cross, the Bible, we just sang about it, you know, and when we sang Forever, you know, that all of those things that Jesus put on him on the cross, and we celebrate that next week, that Jesus took all of our burdens, all of our, when Jesus said, all of you who are weighted down, these weights, maybe they're weights of sin, maybe they're weights of toil, maybe it's the weights of, you know, your problems. Sometimes there are things people have done to you. Sometimes there are things you've done to people. Jesus died for both of them. He died for the weight and sin of men. He died for all the pain. He died for our sin and our sicknesses. He died so that he could eradicate sickness through the power of his name. He died so that anyone could be saved by the power of his name. It's not just come to church, it's come to Jesus. And in his presence, there's something we're coming together to celebrate Jesus. When we, like I said, it's not just the worship team, which was so anointed, so powerful. It's Jesus. It's the presence of Jesus in the room. And that's powerful. And so in the presence of God, in that presence, that's the place for new hope. That's the place where he promises to give us rest. That's the place where he fills us with hope and strength and refreshing. So the first thing I want to talk about is we come to him to receive hope. Say hope. Now, Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, in believing that you may abound in hope in the power of the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to have hope and peace and joy. You know, so sometimes people are like, wow, how could you joke in the house of God? There's supposed to be joy in the house of the Lord. We're supposed to be able to dance. I mean, who goes to you go to a wedding and then there's dancing. But we're going into a celebration. We're like the bride, and we come to celebrate a covenant we have with a living God. There should be joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in his house. I think Jesus joked around with his disciples. They laughed. They didn't just always go into this zone and walk like these, whoa, and he didn't have a British accent. But just saying, you know, they were real people. And as we approach Easter, we're celebrating his resurrection. We're celebrating this, the day that was the game changer. I mean, this time, all of time and eternity recognized it. Now they're trying to wipe that away too. You know, they try to not give Jesus credit. The whole earth recognized when Jesus died on the cross. The earth split. You know, people came. Death recognized the Savior was here. The soldiers who crucified him recognized Jesus at the crucifixion. You know, he went down into the depths, and he took the keys of sin and death, and they recognized him. The devil recognized him. It says if they would have known that they didn't know they were crucifying the Lord of glory. They didn't know what they were doing. If they would have recognized that, they never would have done what they did, because Jesus got victory, and that victory was to purchase our freedom, to purchase so that we can have hope, that we can have faith, that we can have joy. And he gave us that hope so that we could live as we are created to live. Have you ever had something and it's not functioning the way it was created? I mean, you could take an iPad and use it as a hammer, but that's not its job. So, I mean, some people, everything's a hammer. Hammer, boom, hammer, boom. You know, but like there's something it was created to do. When you use it, man, I never knew it could do that. Hello? So we need to use, we need to be used of God, but we need to find how and why we were created. And we were created, people who are full of hope. Our God is a God of hope, and he reversed hopelessness on the cross. And now we get to see things different. It's like if we had glasses. Have you ever had those glasses that you go outside and you're looking and it's kind of hard, and then you put polarized glasses on it over the water and you see everything. You're like, whoa, look at the fish. They were always there. You just see different. And when you have hope, you see life different. And a lot of people, they don't see life proper because they're not functioning the way they were created. But when we're full of God's hope, we see, all of a sudden we see things all around us. We're like, I didn't even know this was around, or what have I been missing? And see, hopelessness, it palsies us from changing. We just get into this zone where we can't even function the way we were supposed to function. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And there's a sickness out there. And some people, they have a heart sickness. They're hopeless. But you have hope. You have something to give them. And the reason why I'm trying to bring this to you is Jesus is saying, come. But if we don't know what he's given them, you don't know what you're telling them to come for. Come to church with me. We have good food. They'll watch your kids. There's music. It's not what it is. It's Jesus is here. You can get hope. You can get faith. You can change eternity. You can get the tools you need so that you can walk out. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:23, let's hold fast the confession of our hope. If you're going to have hope on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, we need to get out, hold of hope, come to the God of hope. I mean, like this morning I got up and I love it. I'm watching, it's dark, and I'm listening to Starlight, and I'm thinking how beautiful and magnificent he is, that he's that light in a dark place. And I'm watching the sunrise, and I'm doing all my things to have quiet time. That's awesome, but there's nothing like the same worship when I got here. When I got here, it's like worship on steroids. It's like 10 times the download I already got this morning worshiping. You know what I mean? Because there's a corporate anointing. When we're all together, it's like a bunch of spark plugs firing at the same time. Not the exact same time, but I mean, in order, it's like, I mean, it goes off. There's a corporate anointing, and I got a download, and that helps me get Monday, Tuesday. We help each other. When somebody's lifting weights and they're doing it by themselves, they get stuck and they can't go. But when someone's there, they're like, I got you, I got you. Come on, you can do it. And you're like, thanks. Like, I didn't do a thing. I just like have my hands there. But there's something about being together with other people that we do better. We function better as team. And so hope is so powerful, and we get to bring that. And hope renewed is so important. So the second thing I want to talk about is when we come to him and we receive faith. And hope and faith have a relationship. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of those things not seen. Hope is that it's that substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of the not seen. It's kind of like if you had to say like our faith would be like a seed that's planted in the ground. You can't see it because it's in the dirt, but it's there. You know, it's there. Faith is there. Well, I don't see faith. Well, I'm a farmer. I put the seed in the ground. It's there. And as a Christian, faith is there. It's just not seen, but hope like waters the seed to bring it to bear fruit. You with me? Because hope and faith work together. So we get hope, and hope is that believing in the unseen. It's there. My grandfather was a farmer. He put seed in the ground. He knows it's there. He's believing it's going to come up out of the ground. As Christians, we put faith. We get up and we plant faith inside, and you might not see it manifest. It's coming. The seed is coming forth, and that hope is something that it's so beautiful. So we need to mix our faith and hope together. And if you don't have it, then it's incomplete. It's like we just don't have it. Isaiah 40 talks about how he gives us this power. Isaiah 40 verse 29, and it says, he gives power to the weak, and those who have no might, he increases strength. God gives power. God increases our strength, but we need to come to him. And then in verse 31 of Isaiah 40, he says, but those who wait in the Lord shall renew their strength. He's in the waiting. He is in the waiting. And sometimes we just need to come together, you know, and just coming around other Christians, it's like so inspiring. We were just hanging out, or actually we met with one of our leaders, and we prayed for one of our leaders, and Teresa and I just took a little hope, mixed it with faith, prayed a prayer of faith. And then the next day she was like, wow, you know, and her countenance changed. She said, you know, that thing is, it's broke, it's gone. I don't feel it. Just a little faith and hope mixed together. And we released a prayer of hope, and it changed her countenance. It shifted. She had a little pep in her step. Are you here? How many know sometimes someone can just speak to you and pray for you, or something happens and you're like, man, I'm ready to conquer again. I'm ready to step the way I used to walk. I was just, I don't know why I was so hindered. How did I let that stuff slow me down? And so we not only receive faith and hope, we release it. And we bless each other. That's part of the community of faith. So we need community. We need Jesus, who's the author. But Jesus is inside of you. And once you get faith and hope, you can give it to other people. And if you isolate yourself, you're just stuck with yourself. Anyway, number three. When we come to him, we receive new strength. So we receive this strength, and it says in This is interesting. 2 Corinthians 1:8. I'm totally trying to shift. He said, this is Paul. He said, we think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble that we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought we would never live through it. Basically, he's saying, we thought we were going to die. Have you ever been there where you just think, it's hopeless, I feel like I'm going to die? Verse 9. Now, this is Paul. He's been shipwrecked, bit by a poisonous snake. I mean, beaten by rods. He's been in jail. He's been in prison. This is Paul who's saying, basically, we thought we were going to die. So this was serious. In fact, he said, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves. Catch this, verse 9, 2 Corinthians 1:9, New Living Translation. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely only on God, who raises the dead. And next week, we're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus. But he raises the dead. Paul doesn't tell us the problem that he went through. But he thought he was at the edge where he was going to die. You know, Abraham Lincoln said this. He said, I've often been driven to my knees in prayer because I had nowhere else to go. And he said, it's often in misfortune that man finds out who his true friends are. And it often needs some time of adversity to show us how much we need God. Sometimes we go through stuff and we just got to get back to figuring out God's answer. God is the answer. And you may be going through one of those times where you said, there's no way out. I don't know, because I serve a God who's the God of hope. When you invite your friends to come and see, when they meet him, they have something that isn't all about any of us. It's about something that's way beyond all of us. Jesus stretched out his hands on the cross, but he's still stretching them out saying, come to me. Come to me. Those of you who labor are heavy laden, come to me. I will give you rest. Come to me. He's the anointed one. He's the burden-breaking, yoke-destroying power of God. He's the one that when you come in his presence, demons, they had no power. Sickness had no strength. Death couldn't even hold him. This is the one that we celebrate. This is the one. And we've got to go back to the mark and say, it's really about the presence. It's about something. So even when you tell someone, come and see, well, what are you going to see? There's something you're not going to see physically that's going to meet you there that's going to be pretty powerful. Okay, we got to preach Christ and Christ crucified. And Paul was at a spot in this when he said this. He said, yes, we have the sentence of death. The word sentence means final verdict. For Paul to say it's the final verdict, Paul was even at his wit's end. So you could say, man, I've been a Christian, bold, all this strength, but I feel like I'm going to die. You know, we all have those moments, even seasoned Christians, where you go, I feel like it's hopeless. But I got to tell you, as long as Christ is on the scene, it's never over. They thought it was over when they crucified him. It wasn't over. They thought he's dead. It's not over. When he's in the tomb, it's not over. 3 days, it's not over. He's down there in the very pit of hell. It's not over. As long as God is in the sentence, then hope is still there. There's no situation where there's no hope. Because if you put God on the scene, if you show up, he's the hope of glory. He's inside of you. He's Emmanuel. He's the God of hope. If God's on the scene, you can't separate him from hope. He's the God of hope. So there is no situation where there's no hope. That hopelessness, it ended with him, and he's saying, it ends here. It stops here. And that's what we're celebrating at Easter, that there was a resurrection that changed. It was a game changer. It shifted time. It shifted eternity. It shifted it with sin. It took away the power and authority that the devil had. And in Acts 1, Jesus said to us, he told us, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, Acts 1:8. He told them to go wait in Jerusalem. Go wait. The power's coming. Acts 2, what happened? Suddenly, they're all together in one place. Day of Pentecost, Acts 2. And suddenly, Acts 2:2, suddenly the sound came from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. And they were, in verse 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. When we receive the strength, we can give that strength to others. I want to bring you, as we close, I want to bring you to this last passage here. Actually, two more verses I want to bring you. One is Paul, and Paul's speaking about his time. Paul was in prison. Paul had a prison for being a Christian, prison for being a witness. Paul's basically, I'm an apostle. I'm a messenger of Christ. That's my job. That's my function in life. And just being that witness, he gets thrown in jail, and he's in jail, and someone comes to visit him. Someone comes. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 16 in the Living Bible, it says this, "May the Lord bless Onesiphorus and his family, because he visited me and encouraged me often. His visits revived me like a breath of fresh air. He was never ashamed of my being in jail." Can I just tell you that sometimes just showing up is like a breath of fresh air in somebody's life around you. Just bringing Jesus onto the scene. Just being a friend to somebody. You say, well, I want someone to be a friend to me. Good, go be a friend of someone else, because as you sow, you'll reap. Put yourself around people. Well, people don't want to be around me. Everyone has something to offer. Be a breath of fresh air to somebody. You can always find someone who's going through something tougher than what you're going through. If you open your eyes, you'll see there's always problems bigger than yours. Stop looking at the problem. And Onesiphorus came into that prison cell, and Paul said he was like a breath of fresh air. Can I tell you, God fills us with faith and hope so that we can be a breath to other people. And we can release and speak the words to them. Now, I told you at the opening of the text, in this verse, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest," right? Jesus said, "Come to me," right? And I said this was the first recorded general invitation to all men when he said, "Come to me," right? What's the last recorded invitation? Because those were the first mention from Christ. What's his last mention from Christ? If you read Revelations 22, I was just blown away. He says, Revelations 22, 17, "And the Spirit and the bride say, come." The Spirit and the bride say what? The Spirit and the bride say, come. So Jesus is in heaven, and the Holy Spirit's the one on earth now, right? So the Spirit's here on earth doing the ministry, and the Spirit says, come. Who's the bride? So the Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. That means all of us say, come. Let him who hears say, come. We're supposed to say, come. Jesus is not only saying, come to me. We're supposed to be echoing that. The Spirit's echoing it, and our job is to echo it as well. Let him who hears say, come. Let him who thirsts come. Oh, I hope you never stop being thirsty. I hope you never stop being hungry. I hope your physical hunger is satisfied, but your spiritual hunger is always there. When I'm not hungry for God, I have to stimulate my spiritual metabolism. Have you ever been there physically where you just feel bloated and you're like, man, my metabolism, I need to shift it, change it. I need to go for a walk, go for a run. I need to do something. I need to increase my metabolism. What about your spiritual metabolism? Are you hungry? Are you thirsty? Him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. That's what we have to offer. We have a God, the God of hope. We have a faith that from the beginning to the end, he was the author and the finisher, and it's not over yet. And you could look at people and say, I don't know about this one. I was one of those. There's hope for everybody. There's hope for everyone. Every situation, there's hope. Because we serve a God of hope. We serve the God who has the last word. The devil doesn't get the last word. And we get to be those who echo it. Would you stand with me today? Father, I thank you for that Spirit. Just compel us. Just draw us in. To come. Let it be on our mouths that we could ask people to come to my Jesus, that we wouldn't mince words and play games, but we'd really actually see and know what it is we're inviting people to and for, and what we're walking into every time we do. God, let us be those who agree with your Spirit and say, come. We thank you, God. I just want to ask you, as your heads are bowed right now, maybe you're here and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart. If you don't know you're going to heaven, Jesus is still saying, come. His Spirit is still saying, come. There will be a day when that stops. There will be a day when we shift. And the Bible talks about different times and seasons. But right now, the doors are still open. And God is saying, I want sons. I want daughters. It's not too late to say, yes, I want to go to heaven. Yes, I want eternity. So if you're in this house and you don't know that you're going to heaven, I went to church, but I wasn't born again. I wasn't going to heaven. And I came to a point where I just said, that's it. I want heaven. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. If that's you today, with everybody's head bowed, would you just look at me and just say, that's me. I want heaven. I want it. I want it today. You could put your hand down. Just anyone else, just look at me and say, that's me right here. Amen. Anyone else, just say, that's me right here. Just go, I want it. I want to know I'm going to heaven. Would you just pray with me all over this room? And afterwards, there'll be people up here in the front, and you can come tell them, or you can tell someone that came with you. But I want to pray with you, and I ask you to pray, even if you're born again, would you pray this prayer so nobody feels awkward next to you? Would you just pray this prayer and just say, Father, forgive me. Forgive my sins. I do believe that Jesus Christ, that he was crucified, that he died, but you raised him from the dead. And I receive forgiveness. Now just listen for a minute. I just pray, the Holy Spirit, that you come. I pray that you just release your power in their lives in a powerful way. I pray for you that he will fill you. And I want you just to ask him and say, fill me. Come on, everybody, just say, fill me. Come on, he's the God of hope and he wants to fill you with new hope. Just say, fill me. And I just pray, God, that even as you said in 1 John 1:9, that if we confess that God is faithful, it doesn't mean we're faithful, we blow it, but God is faithful and he's just. And that the minute you asked him to forgive, he's faithful to forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. His job, he does his job and he does it good. The devil tries to lie to you, he does his job. He's a liar. Jesus said he's been a liar from the beginning. Don't listen to the lies. God forgave you 100%. Now learn to be a son or a daughter and walk in that. And I pray, God, that those words would be on our lips, that we would know we're sons and daughters and that we could bring people into eternity. I pray, God, right now that you would just show us people who we could bring in to your house, people that are open to come on Easter, that we could fill the house with people, fill heaven with people's lives, change eternity for whole families. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. God bless you. Come on, let's just give it up. If you got something good, let's praise Jesus. He's so good.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.